Not me, not Hermione.
Hi, I'm Neha.
Hi, I'm Afreen.
Welcome to Hermione Diaries. This is a podcast where we read, react, and review Draco and Hermione fanfiction.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about The Auction by Loves Bitka 8.
My fave.
Yay. So excited for this one.
So excited.
Juiced, as you would say. Okay, first and foremost, blanket trigger warning.
Here's a note from the author and a content warning from us. Please do not read this work or listen to this podcast episode if you are uncomfortable with themes of violence, human trafficking, slavery, misogyny, sexual assault, homophobia, and bigotry within the context of a cruel and dystopian authoritarian government. Take care of yourselves and maybe read a happier fic if these themes are too triggering for you. Might we suggest Demat Mubil or The Troublesome Thing About Time? And then listen to those podcast episodes.
Yeah. I was just going to say, if you need something after that, we have a pod or two for you.
Happy reading. And happy October spooky season.
Oh my gosh. Happy spooky season to you.
Yeah. I feel like this is a perfect October read when the weather is
colder. Yeah, because it gives dark and gloomy.
Yeah.
It's 100 degrees here in California. But
I can't believe you just gave out our location.
Oh. I think everybody knows we're in California.
What gave it away? Our vocal fry?
Yeah. Amongst them.
The ums and the likes.
Yeah. The Valley Girl accent. Hate that. Okay,
whatever.
Continue.
But Afreen, if you could have used a magical spell for the past 2 weeks, which one would it be?
I would use... What's the one that helps you locate things so that I could get my luggage out of fucking Europe? Because London Heathrow is holding it hostage.
Is that locomotor?
I was also thinking locomotor, but I thought I was just gaslighting myself. Because it sounds like that's something to make things move.
I'm like, locate my loco.
Locomo my luggage? Cocomo my luggage.
I'm so sorry that Heathrow... Just lost your luggage.
Heathrow hate crimes me every time I'm there. I'm used to it. Ooh. And the pat downs, they're so good. I'm just kidding.
No, when I got patted down in Pakistan, I swear like it was a little too friendly.
Yeah, no. They get handsy.
They do. I was like, oh.
Please.
Oh my God, take me out.
Buy me a dinner first. A coffee? Okay, what spell would you use?
I don't think I need a spell, but I need like dreamless sleep potion.
Oh my God.
I need... to sleep because I'm just staying up so late reading Hermione fanfiction or just like making content for our socials.
Neha's been going so hard on socials and we love interacting with all the new people and our OGs on our socials.
Yeah. So
that's been so fun.
If you want me like not looking like a gremlin to be in vain, please go and check out our socials.
Okay. I'm going to check them out right now.
Yeah, right now.
Right now.
Speaking of Hermione, shall we get into a quick intro for The Auction for those of you who haven't read, which we highly recommend you do.
Everybody go read this if you can handle an alternate universe of Voldemort wins, because it's, again, one of the greats.
Okay, so coming out of our The Right Thing to Do episode, The Auction is a companion fic that is set in The Right Thing to Do universe, but a dark AU, alternate universe, where Voldemort wins, and everyone who is a blood traitor or a muggle-born or was on the wrong side of the good during the Wizarding War gets rounded up and sold to dark wizards in an auction to do with them what they please. Slaves, concubines, the works.
Just icky things.
Yeah. The Malfoys are obviously on the side of the Dark Lord, reluctantly, I guess.
Kind of. It's up for debate.
Yeah. And from what we know from The Right Thing to Do, Draco has been secretly in love with Hermione since the Yule Ball and has just desperately hidden his feelings through occlumency. So obviously when Hermione is being bidden on in the auction.
What?
Yeah. Draco buys her for a whopping 65,000 galleons.
He got money. Draco got money like that.
Hermione has no idea the intent behind being bought by the Malfoys and why she's being unharmed by them, and has to find her way to still fight with the Order in this new horrible world she's been thrown into. And then sprinkle in a little Stockholm Syndrome with her childhood crush Draco in the mix, and you get a chef's kiss.
All right. Stockholm Syndrome is a lot. She's
it's a little Beauty and the Beastie, you know?
No, it's She's working with the card she's been dealt, okay? I will be defending the auction to the ends of the earth and back. Get ready.
And I love the auction.
Yeah. I think you love it more than me.
I do. Offering, what would you rate this fic?
Okay. I feel like I want to say 10, but I can't say 10 100% because I have to go with maybe like a 9, 9.5. And I think we'll get into it. Obviously, we'll get into it later. But it's A, the ending where Draco is missing for a while. We'll circle back to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Draco's not there, I'm not there. I don't know if you know that about me. And then also, I think with some of the dialogue, it doesn't fit always.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Or I don't know. I think I'm just like sometimes with their personalities, I'm like, oh, that was a little bit too much.
Mm.
Or sometimes mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that was not enough.
Mm.
What would you rate this fic?
I would rate this a 10 out of 10. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. It's a fave of mine. It's, dare I say, I think I enjoy it more than Manigold. Don't hate me.
That was a crazy statement.
I'm sorry. Sometimes... Some like when I get back into reading this, I'm like, oh, this is good. Whereas I feel like Manacled like hurt a lot. But
it definitely
this one doesn't hurt as much. It's just a bit spookier, or like, I don't know, it's a more daunting.
I think the one thing I love about Love's Bikkei is the way she takes characters, like puts her heart and soul into them. You completely understand them and like her story, but you also don't lose the essence of like the depth of the reality they're in. Like, you never forget in this fic that it's a wartime fic.
Yeah. It sounds so like, cringy when you're explaining it to another person, like, oh, there's an auction and like she gets bitted on and like Draco saves her and da 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 da. But when you're reading it, because her writing is so good, you're like in it.
You're right. Yeah. I never even realized that it would sound cringy explaining it to another person, because every time I think about this fic, I'm like, it's just immaculately done, like executed flawlessly. She spins a beautiful story. You feel like you're in it. Yeah. You're experiencing everything.
You get the emotional stuff from Hermione and Draco. You get the order stuff. You get the Horcrux stuff. You get like, it's like a bit of everything that I love in this fic, because I feel like wartime fics are so hard for me, because I hate an action-y scene. Like, I'm not really an action-y girl. I much prefer like characters fighting than like them physically fighting.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense, I think.
Okay, if you haven't read it, we highly recommend you read it and then come back and listen to us discuss if you want. Unless you don't mind spoilers or have read it, then let's strap the fuck in and dive into the auction.
Strapping is crazy. Okay, so we start out.
Harry's
crazy.
Dead.
Yeah, I thought it was a joke that Harry was dead. I was like, all right, when's he waking up? No, he's dead.
I forget how immediate it is from the Battle of Hogwarts. Like, immediately, Harry is dead, and they're like, all right, round up the Muggleborns and the blood traitors.
Yeah.
Hermione goes into the forest because she sees a blonde head.
No, is she in the forest or is she going through the castle?
I think she goes, she escapes to like the forest. She runs, and then she's like eavesdropping on Draco and his mama.
Yeah.
Just talking. And then Yaxley is like, hiya.
Oh my God. He's like, snatched.
Yeah. She wakes up and she is surrounded by her friends who are also rounded up. Just they're like in the dungeons, just like all these girls. And
it's looking really bleak. And then Pansy's there. Poor Pansy.
And Pansy's like, lounging, and she's like,
just not a care in the world.
Just Ginny is just like high strung, is like, what are we doing? Hermione's awake now, like, how do we get out of here? Whatever. And Pansy's like, you're not getting out of here, babes.
Yeah, and nobody believes her when she tries telling them about the auction. And I mean, I get it, that's a lot to take in at once. Maybe she also could have framed it better. I'm sure Pansy, being Pansy, was like, yeah, you're all getting sold, and we're all screwed, and we're gonna die a slow, slow death. Okay, Pansy, thank you for the information.
I don't know, I love her. I'll defend her in this fic.
I love Pansy in this fic. She's the best.
Just a breath of fresh air every time I see Pansy in a fic. I'm like, thank you, she's saying what everyone else is feeling.
And you know what, maybe they took that one thing that she said in canon and were like, you know, let's spin Pansy.
What was what she said in canon?
In canon, she was like, well, somebody grab Harry. He's standing right there. I don't want to die. Oh, she did say the quiet part out loud. But
Fancy, yeah. Those are inside thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she gets silenced because she has a little mouth on her.
Yeah, Hermione gets silenced. It really highlights how singled out Hermione and Ginny are because they're Harry Potter's best friend mm-hmm. and like girlfriend.
Yeah, and also because they're so mouthy.
And yeah, just shut the fuck up and learn some survival skills.
Please.
Please.
This is what I mean when I get on like Pansy or like the Slytherin side when they're like, this Gryffindor bravado is like so stupid.
Too much.
And I feel kind of spooky scary when like they start to like inspect the girls and like that's when I'm like, oh, this is
it's scary. Icky. Yeah. I remember I couldn't read this fic at first because like this was a lot for me. And yeah. when I was like a teenager.
I'm actually glad with how it makes us feel because it makes the world more real instead yeah. of it just being like, teehee, we are just, you know.
Winning this war yeah. with a 17-year-old and no help.
Yeah. So she comes back and I think like going through all of that, she's a little bit like shaken up. And so Ginny's like, are we fighting? And Hermione's like, dude.
Yeah. At this point, she had been silenced for like a few days. Dolohov was like really gross and like
violating her
space. She was the only girl who had no privacy when she showered and they all got like 5-minute cold showers and it's just really icky. He's like there for medical examinations and
her tubes got severed. Well, one of them.
Yeah. Those Medi witches, like they are told to sterilize all the girls that they capture, which kind of like foreshadows what's going on here.
And it's just like we're like the magical community is already like depleting.
Yeah.
This is not what we should be doing.
I know. Literally, have you read some genetics?
They're like, more inbreeding, please. Sacred 28, let's go down to 14.
What? They have a little rebellion. Poor Luna. And also the first time you kind of hear about Draco during this period is like Luna telling Hermione that when she was in the dungeons at Malfoy Manor, like Draco told me that if I was ever captured, it was better to die than deal with what was coming.
And I don't know how I feel about that.
That was the saddest thing. And Luna also like takes so many beatings because they kind of all try to escape at one point and they all rally together. And I think Hermione channels her wandless magic.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like this is when Parvati gets killed.
Mm-hmm. And then they try to do an Unforgivable, but they have to mean it. So they try to do a little Avada Kedavra, but they don't mean it.
Come on, dude. I would mean that shit so quick.
I'm not going to like if it was
a violent man. Yeah, I'd be crucioing the shit out of him. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, to avoid being trafficked, I think I would mean an Avada.
Yeah, I would mean an Avada. I would mean an Impedimenta. I would mean whatever I had to mean.
I feel like you can just like bombard a Maxima, the shite out of a man. I'm not going to lie.
I so agree, especially if you point it in the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Defendo. Dude, ooh. I know all these spells because of Hogwarts Legacy. <Ute. laughs>
I need to go back to Charms class in Hogwarts Legacy.
It's not in Charms.
I don't know.
What are you going to do when Wingardium Leviosa?
I'm a little stuck at Hogwarts Legacy. I just wanted to go to class.
Just like wave Yaxley around.
Yaxley could use a little spin, okay?
The actual auction taking place, I didn't know what I expected, but I wasn't expecting that. I don't know. I think Hermione was kind of out for the most of it.
Yeah, just not there. And she's been silenced for so long again.
Yeah. And then she tries to escape or whatever, but gets held by a Malfoy. We don't know which one.
Oh, yeah.
And then she gets, like, stunned. And she's stunned in silence and, like, just there while Draco and Dolohov.
I know. Are, facing off.
Literally, it's just
one
after the other. It's like a ping pong, like a tennis match.
And at this point, she's also really confused because Pansy earlier had been like, oh, I'm jealous of the life that you're going to have. And Hermione's like, I'm jealous of you. Like, Draco is going to save you.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
I know.
But yeah, so she gets bought.
And she has no idea, by the way, like who gets bought by whom, because she tries to escape. She like gets stunned. She's like, she knocks out. So she's literally just awake for her own auction. And then Dolohov wins. And I was like, what?
I was so scared.
I was like,
It's like, wait, Am I in the wrong fic? No, yeah, he wins. And then
the next chapter is Pansy's like, let me see your arm. And then it says DM. She has a DM tattoo. And
so nobody Pansy's knows like, what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Pansy's like, I knew it. All right.
All right, Pansy. Not the time, not the place.
And then outside of Malfoy Manor, Blaze frees Pansy by putting like some acid on her.
They're both
arm.
Just like dropped in Malfoy Manor. How? Just alone?
Elf magic?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Some like acid burns on her where her tattoo is, and Pansy screams. And then Blaze is like, all right, gotta take you away. And
Blaze and Daphne come and get Pansy.
Yeah.
And also, then, that's kind of when I was reading that, like, that's such an easy cop out. You just pour some acid on your wrist, burn the magic out of you. I have, when we get to it, I have so many questions about how the magic of like owners tattoos. And tattoos mm. work. Mm-hmm. But I like that they're gold.
Yeah.
That's cute. Just kidding.
Is it?
No. I'm just, whatever we have to do to survive through this, you know?
You're like, if I'm getting a tattoo, it better be gold.
I do want it to be gold and sparkly.
24 karat.
Yeah.
I'm a Malfoy lot.
Yeah.
That shit needs to be real.
She also, she went for double, didn't she? Because when they were, when they were getting appraised by that old man, it was like, 30,000 starting bid, 5,000 extra for your virginity.
Yeah. When Pansy like steps up, she's like, Pansy Parkinson, pure blood. Like, okay, Pansy.
Okay, Pansy, please.
With her like nose up in the air.
Yeah.
You're still being sold, babe.
No, I know. And she's just doing whatever she needs to do to like keep it together.
Yeah. Mippy is like, gotta take Miss into the manor.
Mippy's back.
And so she's going into the manor just having a panic attack. And she's like, who?
What is happening? On? Yeah.
Ew. And then we first see Narcissa. This is the Narcissa I love.
I love this Narcissa.
Narcissa in this fic.
She's so good.
Is so good. It also makes sense that she's a little bit like, she's not as warm as the right thing to do, which I love, but she's still still warm.
Yeah.
And I think it's really nice. And it's a stark contrast of like the horrible world she's been put in.
She's still really meddlesome, you know?
That's true.
She's around.
She is. But I like when she meddles.
Yeah, she also, like, she's so funny with, like, some things I can't. Like, when she's, like, politician-y.
Yeah, she is.
I like her. I also love Lucius in this thing.
He's so funny. When she wakes up and she's, like, surveying everything and she's like, okay, there's nothing that I can do to, like, harm myself or whatever. Mm-hmm. Use as, like, a weapon.
Yeah.
And then Lucius comes in and he's like, let me see what you have behind your back. It's a comb with like a pointy end. Yeah. And he breaks the pointy end but gives the comb back. He's so funny.
He's like Hermione's dad, but if Hermione was a toddler, like a crazy toddler.
Oh my god. I actually really liked
just
Lucius
constantly talking down to her.
He's like, brush your hair, please.
Yeah, wear some clothes.
Can I get a thank you for your room?
Yeah. Yeah, but she has like a huge suite, private bathroom. Basically, she gets moved into like a penthouse.
And her wardrobe is fully stocked. She has a nice view.
Great view.
Yeah. She's like, oh my God, like, are these Pansy's clothes? Like, Pansy's not going to be wearing muggle jeans. Like,
come on. This is what I don't like about this universe is Hermione. Like, why are you so fucking dumb?
Yeah, for no reason.
You're not that dumb.
No, I know. I thought it was funny how he even included like some sports bras.
I know. He was like, yeah, in case you need to go for a run.
And then Narcissa is like giving her a tour of the manor and knows.
That's nice.
Yeah. And then she knows that she really likes reading. So she's like, have at it at
so
our
here's
library.
The library.
I like that she immediately is like, all right, library locked
saw
in.
Your room, library next.
Yeah. Where are the Horcruxes? Immediately in the library. She's like looking through the Horcruxes.
It takes her like 10 minutes to be like, oh my God, I shouldn't be looking for those.
I like that this library has like a database or like a where you can like a
oh my God.
Like, what is that called?
A like cross-referencing thing. You just kind of speak to the library. If I had that.
Oh my God.
Game changer. I would never Google another thing in my life.
I would love a library, but for Draco and Hermione fanfiction and
the
cross reference.
Marriage fic cross reference with forced proximity.
/ dad Draco.
Good smut.
That would be our dream.
Ovulation week is just like porn with plot. Cut that shit out.
I'm leaving that shit in. This is where we see Draco for the first time.
Finally, it's been like decades.
Where were
this
you?
Is why I never remember the beginning of this fic and the end of this fic. Like, Draco's not there.
I feel like the first time I really enjoyed reading it for the first time, and every single time that I've read back, I'm like, where do we see him? That's literally chapter one for me.
Like, the first time I read the whole thing through, I think I skipped the entire auction part of the auction.
You're like, that's enough. I read it once.
Yeah.
I like how they immediately argue.
Yeah, as they should.
I know. Hermione's being so weird. She's like, do you want me to, wash your clothes?
She's like, please give me manual labor. I don't want to sleep with you.
And he's like, you want to do my laundry, Granger? What the hell? And she's like, no, I want to suffocate and die. He's like, yeah, do that.
Yeah.
Next time they see each other is because Hermione has no idea, where any of her friends are. And so she's like, Narcissa, can you give me some info? And Narcissa's like, no, I'm going to meddle. So I'm going to bring my son to you.
Yeah.
And force you guys to talk.
Yeah. And it kind of starts the system of her having to wheedle information out of Draco over and over again. And that happens throughout the whole fic. And he's just gives nothing. And then he has to be bribed into every damn morsel of information that he gives out. And he's not happy about it ever.
I also like that this is the first time where we see Draco being really good with magic, because he does this spell where he conjures a scroll and the scroll is writing connected to his brain, and so he's thinking about names and it's writing it, and Hermione's enamored by his
and spell she's ability. So impressed with his magic skills.
So she knows where Ginny is and so and so, and then Luna kills herself.
She was sold to Mulciber, and I think two other people were sold to Mulciber.
And she was like, that's your fault. You told her
to do that.
And so she did.
I mean, I kind of get it, Luna. I feel like Luna's a free spirit. She was never meant.
Yeah.
She couldn't. I can never see her belonging to anybody. That was so sad. I feel like I cried. And also, I think I always have to bring myself back when I read this fic that Hermione's had a crush. You see different parts as you're reading, of her, little memories here and there of her, being like, yeah, she's kind of had this crush on him for, so long since school. And now she's at his house for, what seems like a very sexual, purpose, even though obviously he hasn't laid a finger on her yet, but that's what she's seen so far. And it's just, really icky feeling. And you're just,
it's traumatic.
So traumatic. And it puts the whole thing into another light. And then also when her memories are searched by Voldemort.
Yeah. He's like, Voldy wants to see us. And she's like, I'm busy.
Yeah.
Tell him I said thanks.
She said, no, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah. It's actually really scary when they see him before they enter. The Dementors come and search them a little bit.
Yeah.
And then
why are they there?
Patrolling.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they go inside. It's interesting to see Draco and Voldemort. Draco immediately bows and he's like, my lord, whatever. And he's rough with Hermione. And then he punches her.
Yeah, he hits her. I hated that.
He needed to do it. Hermione just can't shut up. She didn't say my lord.
Yeah. She was like, fuck you. I hated that he backhanded her and she was bleeding. And I was just.
He needs to keep up the pretense. He's too nice to her the other times as well.
True.
Yeah. And so, especially in front of Voldemort, he doesn't want him to be suspected. And so Voldemort takes a little peek into her mind.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting, the memories that he focuses on. Yeah. It's lots of George.
Yeah, well, he's looking for George because George escaped during the auction. Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, he escaped? Good luck. He's the best person ever. Yeah. And he's gonna take you down.
He's gonna raise hell.
Yeah.
Shout out George. So happy for him.
Yeah.
But
also Voldemort knows she fancies him.
I think it's interesting, his reaction to that. He doesn't say oh, young Malfoy, like he doesn't divulge that information to Draco. He just kind of he plays the both of them against each other.
Yeah. I also hate that we never circle back to it, because she basically says he's like, you have to tell me what he knows. Mm-hmm. He thinks I'm complacent. And she's like, I don't know,
she thinks about telling him that she had a crush on him, but then she never does.
Yeah, because he says anticipation is the best.
The sweetest torture. Just gagging my way through.
But we never circle back to that.
He never finds out.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. He also asks a little later, but he's like, what happened with Dolohov? Like, why do you have such a visceral reaction to him? And I wish she told him,
yeah,
like how he was with her, because she was like, imagine having to see him so many times over and over and nobody knows what you're going through and like what he did to you.
Yeah, especially I think with how protective he is. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't like secrets.
Yeah. Lots of secrets. Yeah. I think it's not even secrets. They just don't fucking communicate with each other.
The like, miscommunication trope between
you guys need to go to therapy.
Please. Also, they're so young.
Yeah, that's true. They're like, I always forget how young they are, dude. Yeah, and it's all, that's the other thing. Like, it's all of these little 16, 17, 18-year-olds being sold.
Yeah. Ugh,
it's awful.
Yeah. So anyways, when she tells Draco that Luna killed herself, then Draco's like, all right, bet I'm going to ward everything in your room.
Yeah, she threw a lot at him.
Yeah, so she can't hurt herself. She can't put her hand in the fire. She can't
go to her balcony.
No.
That was a lot. I would be so pissed.
Yeah. And then she wakes up to Bellatrix.
Oh, yeah.
I thought she was dreaming.
Me too.
I didn't know it was her.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God.
Bellatrix is just there.
I like when we read and she goes, ah, ah, ah. Like, I'm like, that's so her.
That is so Bellatrix. Like, yeah. She nailed Bellatrix in this fic.
And Bellatrix is like, you're living the lavish life? Like, is this the Ritz?
Come on. Like, how did they not? None of them freaking knew that Bella just got into the house.
No, literally.
Like I know it's a big house, but goddamn.
The wards don't.
No.
Like.
And like, I understand they're blood wards, but like, yeah. Is there a glimmer?
Don't you understand? In the other fics, like they're like, oh, I felt it in the ward. I'm like, what?
What does that mean? Like a little shiver passes through? It's like when a ghost goes through you. Yeah. I need to know that.
So anyway, she's like, I'm going to torture you now. So she brings out another blade.
Bella's also like so sexual with her. She's like all up in her business and like lying on top of her. I'm like, whoa, are you? Everybody just, I think it's the perverse sexuality on like the baddie side of this fic that I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
This is a lot.
Just cutting her up yet again. This poor girl.
I know. And it's like a poisoned knife or dagger.
Yeah. And so she starts.
And she's trying to scream.
Yeah. She tries to scream. She does scream. Yeah. And then Draco is at the door.
Yeah.
Shirtless.
He's just like in the middle of her room. And she thinks that there's no way he can hear her. Because at this point, she has no clue where his room is or like where he like sleeps in the manor.
Yeah.
And then, shirtless.
Yeah, he's there and he's like, Aunt Bella, that's my plaything. Like, he does a really good job at being like,
I know. He's like so calm and cool.
Yeah. And then, as soon as she also, like, Bellatrix is really sexual with Draco as well.
Yeah. She like drags his nails up, her nails across his chest.
What?
Ma'am, that's your sister's son. Like,
gross.
Bella's like, I like everybody except Robust and Strange. I like everybody but my husband. Because she like hits on Lucius later. hits on Lucius.
She's like, Draco could have been our son. I'm like, oh my God, Bella.
Can you? Yeah.
Anyway, so as soon as she leaves, Draco's like panicked. He's like on top of her. He sees that she's bleeding and he realizes that it's poison and he starts sucking the blood, the poison
Edward
blood
Cullen,
out.
Where did you come from?
I was literally thinking that. We mentioned Twilight in
every episode. I was just thinking earlier, if nobody understands our Twilight references and our TikTok references, like, we're not funny.
No.
We just sound deranged.
Oh my God. Oops. Anyways, he starts like sucking the blood and just like spitting it on his like
carpet,
the lush carpet.
Yeah.
And
I hope they have good bleach. And she's just like a freaking mess. And she's also just like, Draco Malfoy has my dirty blood all over his mouth.
Yeah. And then she goes, she looks down and she's like, oh my God, she just made a little squiggle.
Yeah. She's like, you didn't even do a good job carving me up. Like,
she's like, I wanted it to mean something. At least mud blood is a full word.
Oh, yeah. The perfectionist in Hermione is like, if you're going to draw me a picture.
I know. But she realizes that it's kind of really close to both of her tattoos. And so essentially, Bella wants to make DMs.
Yeah. Like, apostrophe squiggly.
But if this doesn't show that Draco wants, not only wants to get her unharmed, but like really cares about her.
Yeah, and but she's just still confused, bro. Like, she cannot take a clue.
He was so frightful.
I know. He was so scared. And then I think he like checked on her.
Yeah.
Like, the next days. And I
healing
think,
her with potions. Yeah. She realizes that she has to study occlumency.
Yeah.
And all the Malfoys are in on it, which yeah. I love.
I know. Like, a rant. She's in the library and a book just like floats
to her.
Towards her. It's like, okay, cool. And she's also just like, can I even do that? Because she, at this point, basically all the lots, as they're called, are given like a magic suppression mm-hmm. potion. And she doesn't know yet that yeah. she
hasn't. Also tries to like summon a book and it doesn't come to her.
Yeah. I wonder if that's because she's just like so mentally
yeah.
taxed yeah. and you need a lot of.
Yeah. You think you can do nonverbal.
Nonverbal wandless
magic right now? Like, yeah. that's crazy. So she overhears Lucius and Greg Goyle Sr. is missing and a prisoner escaped and McNair was killed. A lot happens that she overhears.
Yeah. I think it's crazy that Greg Goyle Sr. went missing so early.
Yeah.
I always forget that.
Yeah, but I guess like because Harry dies, the Horcrux is like floating.
Yeah.
Latches onto Greg Goyle.
I know. You couldn't have picked a better option. Yeah, please.
I like that Lucius knows that she's like overhearing and he's like gives her a little bit of toot. And he's like, okay, you get like maybe two questions. Yeah. Use them wisely.
Yeah.
Narcissa invites Hermione through Draco.
Yeah, she like makes him go ask her.
Yeah, she is. But like, I like it when she's meddlesome here. Yeah.
It's like and it's funny because she does the same thing and the right thing to do. Yeah. Like, you see like a funny pair. I think it's so fun in this fic, like seeing all the parallels. Like, you have like really similar conversations sometimes. Yeah. Like, it's a fun little Easter egg hunt.
Yeah. They talk books and she wants the Undesirable series, which is like mm-hmm. the series that they really like, but mm-hmm. she finds that it's personally written to him by the author.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'll give you those ones.
Aww. Yeah. She had found his like first edition copies or whatever. She's like, I can't read those. Like, it's gonna mess up the binding. Okay. Nerd.
I feel her.
Yeah. I also think it's so funny when she's like, he like looks at her bookshelves and he's like, oh, you reorganized them? And she's like, yeah, I don't know how the fuck they were organized. Like, it was
before who did
he was
that?
Like, it was like last name and then year of publication and then some other nonsense. He's like, no, it's like Muggle versus Magical or something. And she's like, that's stupid.
He's like, okay, just like crying inside.
Yeah.
Dinner is interesting. I love Hermione v. Lucius. Like,
they're so funny.
She has no shut-em.
No. No shame. No filter.
I get it. He tried to kill her when she was
15.
That's
true. Yeah, you're right.
Then, like, they get called into duty, Lucius and Draco, and they clutch their forearm and have to kiss Narcissa.
It's a dramatic exit. Yeah. Well, okay, so she's, like, all alone, mm-hmm. and she, like, goes exploring. One of the elves tells her that Narcissa's gone, Draco and Lucius have been gone.
And she's like, great, I get to be in this manor alone. Let me just walk.
Alone with her thoughts.
Alone.
I love when she just goes to the kitchen.
I like that when she passes by portraits and they're like hissing at her, she just like trails her finger.
Or she like scrapes her nails across them and they're just like astonished. And then she's in the kitchens and like four elves are just looking at her with like enormous eyes.
Yeah. Isn't that when she's just like, oh my god, do you guys know Dobby?
Yeah.
And they're like, the elf who got himself freed.
Yeah. No. Disgusting.
Also, I don't know if it's here, but when she goes to the kitchens and she's just like, no, I don't want, like, don't give me honey.
Yeah, she's trying to figure out which like item her magic suppressant is in. Like, yeah. Which food item. The honey thing is so funny. Do it.
Miss doesn't like honey.
And she's like, no, I do like honey. And like, I've been putting 3 honey spoons in your tea and Draco, Master Draco's tea.
Miss not like honey.
She's like, no, can I have a different honey?
What, our honey?
The
is
honey
gone?
Has gone bad. I love that. That's so cute. And she's like crying.
I know. And she's like, okay, well, I guess I'll have dinner now.
Yeah, it's 2 p.m.
Anyways, through the elves, she hears that Draco is hurt.
Oops.
Oopsies.
This is like, you find out later, and she sees in the paper later that this is like the battle at Dover.
Mm-hmm. And so Lucius killed Charlie Weasley.
Yeah.
my favorite line in that part was Rita fucking Skeeter was alive and well and writing for the prophet.
She like reads all this traumatic stuff and she's like, oh, absorbs this one thing.
I like that she's nosy and goes into his bedroom. Like, that's so mean.
That's
bro.
Crazy.
He didn't lock it, so obviously, yeah, what is she supposed to do?
Yeah. It's cool that like she didn't know that it was there and it had like a notice me not charm.
Mm-hmm. Not and, very strong.
Yeah, and there's just a ginormous dragon on the front.
I wonder whose room this is.
I know, crazy.
She finds a cutout of her picture from the prophet in a box.
Aww.
Is that all?
They're I both, like it.
They're both equally stocky.
Yeah, if he was like, so stocky.
If he was like, you went into my room, I would be like, yeah, and you have a picture of
and
me?
You have like a like a murder box in your drawer? As far as she knows. She yeah. doesn't know that he's obsessed with her.
Hermione is found meditating in like their little garden.
Oh, yeah.
What is it? Like a little observatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a little.
I'm just picturing how every British house has like a sunroom.
Yeah. I know? Love a sunroom.
Yeah. It's great. And they get zero sun.
I know. I was just going to say the people who deserve that the least is like the people of UK.
So he's like, oh my God, you're meditating. And she's like, wow, you're back. And mm-hmm. he has a little cast sling.
Yeah.
And he has to regrow his bones.
Yeah. He was hit with the acid curse.
And Lucius killed Charlie because he tried to kill Draco.
Yeah. And they are like so pissed about it.
And they argue. And she was like, what would have done if you died? Like, where would I have gone? Would I have gone back to Dalahof? And it's like, no, my mother would have taken care of you. And she's like, what? No.
Yeah. Just doesn't believe a word out his mouth. Yeah.
And then they're fighting. And I have no, like, I feel like her bursts of accidental magic. It's like, I'm like, are you five? Like,
no, literally.
Contain yourself.
Doesn't she know by now? Like, can't you?
Feel
what happened
it?
To
you
that
feel...
whole like crackle of magic under your skin?
Literally. So anyway, she doesn't know she has magic, but she's so angry when she fights with Draco that she sends him
like
back
flying
into a pillar.
Yeah. And which with how rich they are, that shit is made of like pure marble for sure.
And he's like, yeah, I always thought you were going to kill me. And Hermione's like freaking out. Freaking. And then she calls for Mippy. And then Narcissa and Lucius are like, what the hell?
Yeah, like just their worst nightmare. And they're like, first of all, you were so expensive. Second of all, you're just murdering our last living heir. I'd be pissed.
Yeah, hella. I think Narcissa was too nice to her, right?
Really?
Yeah.
I think she was kind of like, she was a little short. She was like, all right, well, I have to go.
Try and save my son.
Yeah.
Yeah. The apple of my eye.
Yeah. That was unfortunate. Oops. She like kind of says sorry.
Yeah, she knocks on the door and she's like, so sorry. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
She's like just rambling.
Yeah.
And then I like how in all of these fics, she has like a rambling problem.
Yeah, literally she cannot shut her mouth. Yeah.
And then Draco's like, we have a visitor. Yep. Turns around, Blazabini, everybody.
Shout out Blazabini. Love him. Can't live without him.
And then Blaze goes inside Hermione's bedroom and she's like,
Nobody told you to do that. Yeah. Who said that you could do that?
Didn't she like was coming out of the shower?
Oh, yeah. I think it's so funny that like Blaze is just there to make Draco uncomfortable and flirt.
Yeah.
Those are his two.
She's like, how did you get in here? And he's like, oh, I had to convince the room that I wasn't going to hurt you.
Which is like the first time, or not the first time, but like you kind of see like how many enchantments are on her room and like.
Yeah.
Like how far Draco's gone to like keep her safe.
Draco gets better and then tells Hermione she needs to control how obvious her occlumency is.
Oh yeah. I am so confused about the concept of occlumency in this fic.
I actually really like how it's
cool
described in this.
Yeah. You learn a lot about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true, but
I also
her
think,
version of it.
Yeah. I also think because she brings in meditation.
Yeah.
From there, like I can understand
like
it a little bit more.
It connects the dots really well. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I also thought it was so cool how she provided different methods,
mm-hmm.
like books and building a bookshelf and using books as memories.
And
like
Draco
pages.
Uses a box.
Yeah.
And
you can do like a lake or a body of water and you have to keep it still so that there's no ripples. Like mm-hmm. that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's like what I don't understand as much is the way that like yeah, obviously it makes you go blank and like
yeah,
but I think with Hermione and throughout this fic like
she disassociates
like the disassociation is not what I expected. I thought it kind of just like shut
you just
your
compartmentalized
brain. Yeah, yeah, like I thought it shut your brain to outsiders. I didn't really make the connection that it would shut the outside from you.
Yeah, I think like because you so you meditate and then you have a different method. So for her, it's like a bookshelf or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I think you compartmentalize to the point where you're like, it's an out of body experience.
Yeah. You know, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Blaise and Draco are both like, Pansy's dead. Yeah. When Hermione is like, where is Pansy?
Why are they gaslighting her like that, bro?
Saying the same line.
Yeah, I know.
The next thing that happens is wild for Hermione. I do feel really bad for her because Draco tells her to wear a negligee.
Oh, yeah.
And is like super aggressive with her. Yeah. So
he kind of mimes like a rape almost.
Yeah.
Because he, yeah. You know, has and, to.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying all of these like really nasty, icky, aggressive yeah. stuff.
And you know what? I feel like all of that, if you trust in her occlumency, a little like warning, like a little signal.
Yeah. I think he was just stressed out.
Yeah,
and
get
every
it,
time he's supposed to be penetrating her, he pinches her.
Yeah.
And then and Hermione has no idea what is happening.
I don't get how that works because like if you're looking into somebody's memory with legitimacy, why can't you tell that that's fake?
I don't know.
Yeah. I have questions, but yeah. It works.
So he's speaking as if he's having sex with her and then he ejaculates on her.
What?
Yeah. Throughout this, like we see that he's through Hermione that he's not enjoying it.
No,
like
yeah.
She says that his eyes are dead.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's looking at her. He turns her face away. Yeah. After he finishes, he immediately gets off of her and is like, get up, the Dark Lord is here.
Yeah.
And Hermione is just already like so traumatized and then has to, from being traumatized, confused. Violated,
yeah.
confused. Oh, while this is happening, she like, we'll come back to it, but like she explodes, like her accidental magic again.
Oh, yeah. Like it kind of destroys the bedroom.
Yeah.
Like her room.
Yeah.
Because she's just like.
Yeah. So she goes down with Draco and Voldemort. So after being like violated, like physically and emotionally, then she like in her mind gets violated by Voldemort again.
And it's really painful when he does it.
Super painful.
His legitimacy is like hot knives.
Yeah. Hermione is like screaming, like eyes rolling in the back of her head, like drooling. And we hear Narcissa telling Draco to like get it together in case he's needed again. It's really sad. Voldemort basically knows that they were looking for Horcruxes. Mippy takes her back to her room and she sees that her whole room is just destroyed. And
that's a lot of accidental magic.
Yeah. And she destroys like the Lance Gainsworth Undesirable series. And she's like,
bro, I would be so pissed.
I like that she's most of like, the furniture, carpet, like drapes, like all of them are.
She's like, whatever, we got money.
But the book, she's like, no.
I fully understand. I'm so sorry. Like, like signed copies of like your favorite series. I would screw her. I'd be so pissed if I was Draco.
Yeah.
He's also like traumatized because he's had to like do all that to her and then also see her like suffer like that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we don't.
And his books are gone.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't really see how it's traumatizing for him, but it is. Like, it's not like he's also a victim in this of having to violate like the woman that he adores.
Yeah. And he's just fighting his way through the best way he can.
I know. So she can't sleep in there. So she sleeps in a guest bedroom. And the next day, like, Narcissa's like, you have to go back to your room.
Yeah.
Dude, like, there's protective wards. And they go back and everything is replaced and it looks like a Gryffindor common room.
Yeah, that's really cute. I liked it.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then I like that she, as soon as she feels a little bit better, she's like, to the library.
To the library. To the salon.
And then Draco comes in, realizes she's there, and leaves.
Yeah, he does like a hominem revelio because he's just like, oh, she's so traumatized. She's not going to want to see me.
And he's probably traumatized too. Yeah. So he's actively avoiding her. But slowly her bookshelves are being restocked again.
I know. A cute detail.
Yeah. So Mippy tries to get Hermione back to her room when she's practicing occlumency again.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, Hermione's like, shut up, you stupid elf.
Oh my God.
I'm going to do what I want. Don't you know that I have Gryffindor bravado?
Yeah. All my Gryffindor courage.
Yeah. So she eavesdrops on Knott Senior.
On the Knott.
On the Knotts.
Yeah.
Visiting. And they talk about people are escaping. And then she gets caught eavesdropping like a little.
Oh my God. That was so embarrassing. Please.
Dude. And the Narcissa had to be mean to her and Draco had to be mean to her. And then the Knotts are like, wait, I thought she had dragon pox.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't have said anything else.
And but, Draco's like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's like, yeah, she was just like really ugly. I could barely look at her. I'm like, okay.
And they're like, so we'll be seeing more of her? And he's like, I fucking guess.
He's like, yeah, can't wait.
So basically they have to go to these regular parties that are happening in Edinburgh Castle. Yeah.
They're called like raves. Revels. Sorry, they're called revels.
Yeah.
Not a rave.
Mm-hmm. Like that. I don't know. I've never been to a rave, but I think it's not that.
I don't think that's a rave. A revel. Oh, yeah. So he gives her nothing.
No ounce of information. He's like, I don't know, put this on.
Yeah. And gives her a freaking collar.
Yeah.
Like a dog.
And when she
that's
goes
That's gold,
down.
Too. That's nice.
I'm a dog, but I'm a blinged out dog. As they're about to leave, he's like, you have to take your bra off.
I know that for hated that. And she's like, let's fucking go. I guess.
So they go to Edinburgh Castle. They have these revels every Friday night where Death Eaters and their associates come along and bring their lots. It's also where like important political figures come and hang out. There's like different rooms as well.
That's so weird to me.
Like everybody in this world is so like
hypersexual. No, yeah. I think like that definitely tracks. I think for me, the surprising part is that in building this new world, it's so open. Like it's like you, it's not shown as something that's like the underground. It's very much so.
Which even I think later on with like the New Year's Eve or like the Christmas gala that Narcissa has to.
Yeah, the New Year's Eve gala. Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, like they're just there. Like the lots are there just dressed up.
Only, but that one is just like only the really pricey ones. Yeah, I think it does show like bleak and gross. She's setting up this world to be.
Men are horrible. Even women are horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first time Hermione has been seen. And so the men are excited.
What? Hated that.
And it's the first time she sees her friends in the same situation. Yeah. It's
she
so
sees
sad.
Like Susan Bone.
Cho.
Cho Chang. Yeah. Who's with Mulciber. Yeah.
She sees Avery who bought Ginny, but Ginny isn't there because she didn't, quote, play nice.
Yeah.
Marcus Flint is there. And we know about his little roofie concoction.
Oh, yeah. From The Right Thing to Do. And they like really, it's like, obviously it's fair game here. And it's like used very liberally.
When they like commence their little get together, they say like they drink and they clink their glasses. And they're like, to the Dark Lord, may he reign forevermore. Ew.
Cheers. I
cringed.
Could
so
not
hard.
Say that with a straight face if I was them.
Forevermore.
Forevermore is crazy.
Taylor?
Yeah, I know. Is this on the Eras set list?
All the boys are like, ooh, we want a taste of the Golden Girl. Yeah. And Draco's like, rah, rah, she's mine. I'm like, Draco, I don't know if this is like his protectiveness. Like, it's good for Hermione. I don't know how great it's looking. On the outside.
In real life, He's also just, like, pissed all the time.
He pulls her on their lap and they're both, like, awkward.
Yeah.
And then Goyle makes Susan Bones just give him head in the middle of dinner.
Goyle is so disgusting. And, well, first of all, she's had no warning, Hermione, and what she was, like, getting into. Yeah. So,
oh, my God, I forget. Like, I also felt like – I felt like I was her just being horrified at every –
Yeah, when you first read this.
Yeah, just everywhere. It's just like, what is going on? This is gross, icky. I hate everything.
And this is dinner. And, like, just seeing that, like, the glass shatters and, like
– Yeah, because Hermione is so overwhelmed with emotion. Again, another burst of accidental
magic.
Yeah,
her magic's not suppressed. And this is – okay, for this, like, this is really overstimulating.
Yeah.
And that's when, like, the first time, like, all of the girls, like – They all have to, they get ordered to pick up the glass and they had like the whole grape symbolism when they were all being held together and Hermione spelled out not alone at the very beginning of this fic. And so they were all like picking up the glass and then they all held hands and like handed each other grapes and stuff.
Draco and Hermione kind of like still when like all the lots have to like go down and like pick up the glass and who is it? Like Flint is like, think your mudblood is too good for our cleaning, Draco? And he's like, I do actually. I don't usually let 65,000 galleons drop on the floor. He ate.
That's kind of funny. You also meet Charlotte.
Yes.
She's like.
She is a descendant of Selwyn.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, but like her parents married like Muggleborns
she's
or
like
something.
A half-blood or something.
Yeah, something like that.
But she's kind of like the hostess.
Yeah, so she's the only girl that's not like visibly upset or like disgusted or whatever. She's playing it really well. She's like happy and she's like flirting with like
that's
the boys and she's like being really nice to the girls and then she hands Hermione a grape
Yeah.
And I think like she knows the hidden meaning, and then she looks at Cho, and Cho has like the...
It's like eating a grape.
Mm-hmm, and has a revolution in her eyes or whatever.
That was a line.
That was a line.
That with the fire of revolution, but she's like the fire of revolution burning in her eyes, but she's just having to like grind on fucking Mulsiver. Like, I want to die.
Yeah. Cho is, shout out Cho. So when they return, obviously Hermione has questions.
Yeah.
She learns about Marcus Flint's potion.
And she's also just like, I have to go back.
And he's like, no, he's going to give you the potion.
Yeah. And he's like, you don't know how it works. Like, you haven't seen people on this. And she's like, okay, well, give me the potion. I'll just break it down and make an antidote. No big deal.
And then mimic
the effects.
Yeah. Hermione, you're not going to be able to do that.
You can't do that, babe.
No.
Yeah. You suck at this. You can't tell a lie, first of all. But
also, you have zero experience.
Yeah, and you're just not an actress.
No, she's literally, literally the opposite.
Not an actress. But he just like, he's like, yeah, that's what we're going to do. He's like, yeah, you'll go again. And then like the next week when it's like on Friday nights or whatever, it's time to go.
He's like, I have work.
Yeah, and she's just like banging on his door at the end of the night like, open this fucking door. And he finally opens it and he's like being really weird. And poor thing, she's like, is there a girl in there? Like, what's going on? And it's Pansy.
Yeah, so he had left saying that he had work. Yeah. And then she was just on her balcony, like, waiting for the light in his room to turn
on.
That
is so sad.
And she comes back and she's like, oh, he has someone in his room. And she's like, wait, I know that voice.
Yeah.
And she sees herself, but she knows it's Pansy because herself is, like, smirking in a Pansy-esque way.
And, like, arching an eyebrow the way only Pansy can arch an eyebrow. Yeah,
and she, like, did her makeup really well. Yep. And like,
she's like, oh, that's not me for sure.
Her hair is nice.
Yeah. Her hair is not a disaster.
Yeah. And then she's really pissed. And I feel like... I got to tell you, when I first read it, I didn't understand because I'd be like, wow, I didn't have to go back to Edinburgh and didn't have to do that potion. Like, and I looked great.
Yeah, true. But like, how pissed do you get when you like don't know something that you want to know?
Yeah, that's true. And I kind of get it because she's like, my body felt violated. But he was like, well, it was going to be violated anyway.
I know. Why did he say it like that, bro?
And then she slaps him. I love
when she slaps him every time.
Hits.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's like, it's always her hand whizzes through the air. And it's always like leaves a bright red print on his like alabaster skin. I'm like, okay. We get it, you're pale. So yeah, that happens, and she's like, you're never doing that again, thanks. And he's like, okay. She overhears Narcissa talking to Lucius, and you kind of get like Narcissa being politician-y because she is like, you need to remind the Dark Lord's followers that these revels aren't just for fun, like you're here to like officiate like business for the like Voldemort's followers now call themselves the Great Order. That's funny.
Plagiarism.
Yeah, literally. Copy my work and make sure it doesn't look like you did. But yeah, so she's like, it's not just to like, you know, get off on the weekends. Like, they're trying to do stuff here. At the same time, like, see in the newspapers that, like, Italy's under attack, and this whole thing in this fic, the way it does, like, wartime is so good because you kind of see how a regime spreads and that whole authoritarianism come to life. And so, like, Italy falls, and then basically she sees Blaze with a little young teenager and Draco.
14-year-old.
Yeah, a little 14-year-old. And it's the Italian minister's niece. Mm-hmm. Like, finally, Draco's back. He was called away when everything in Italy was happening. And he comes back, and he's, like, thinking that she's, like, asking to go to Edinburgh. And he's like, yes, we're going to go. And he's like, bloody woman. But
I also like that before he leaves her a little note.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she like keeps it, and it says like, Granger, I have to go to like work. No, I don't know when I'll be back. No, I don't know. Da, da, da. Yes, we're going to go to Edinburgh when we come back. Yes, I did eat breakfast.
Thanks for asking.
I like that they're still able to be all bantery.
I know. The banter's still there and thriving. But yeah, basically when he comes back is when he tells her about Italy, and like they kind of start this pattern of like, he fills in like what he has to do. Mm-hmm. Like he tells her what he has had to go do and stuff while he was gone. And basically Giuliana Bravieri, the one who was like the little teenager that you saw with Blaze, was dealt that potion at Edinburgh, and she was kind of used as like a pawn for
because they put so many
the minister
of the hairs
of the hairs and Flint's potion from like a bunch of different men, and they all assaulted her, and it's just disgusting, and I
hate it.
And it, like, every time, like, I think you get sucked into their love story, you also are like,
wow, this is a horrible world.
Yeah, like, it's just the worst of the worst, and you can't believe that this is happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they go back to Edinburgh.
They meet Knott Senior again, and he calls Hermione a little dove, mm-hmm. which is, like, an interesting nickname he does, or, like, a very intentional nickname.
Yeah, comes up again later.
Because he, like, sees her tattoo.
And not, like, Knott Senior is also seen, like, bragging. Mm-hmm. About the tattoos, and also
that was his idea.
And she knows that, like, basically that he's the face of, like, the anti-apparition lines going up around mm-hmm. Europe, and that mm-hmm. he was the one that did these tattoos that, like, bind all of these slaves to their owners, and he continuously brags about them.
Yes.
Like, it kind of sets the stage for how Hermione starts putting things together.
The boys start to play poker. And they exchange information, which is so wild for them to do. Even Hermione's like, wow, they just...
She's like, oh, they're also rich. Like, that money is no object, but...
Yeah, but these
the secrets are. She's trying to just keep her head above water.
Yeah.
And, like, be on Draco's lap and act like she's there all the time.
Yeah, because all of the other lots and, like, the Death Eaters, they're so comfortable with the women that they bought, and they're always on their laps, and they're always, like, you know, being held or, like, kissed or gyrating or, like, whatever. And Draco and Hermione are visibly just, like, stiff and uncomfortable with each other, and, like, Marcus really notices that
and he capitalizes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like,
Hermione tries to, like, kiss Draco, which was, like, a little wild for her to do.
Why did she do that? The way that I have secondhand embarrassment because he, like, she's like, first of all, you're in front of so many people, like,
that's where you want to kiss
that's him? Where you want to try this right now, like,
he's already
so bravado
broody as
I know.
Fuck.
he's
already mean.
So
Marcus catches her getting just
rejected because he, like, flinches back when she tries to kiss him,
like, on the corner of his mouth or something.
Nothing crazy. Don't be such a prude, Draco. Please. But yeah, so, and then, like, he kind of sees that and uses it as, like, an opener to be like, oh, I know the location of one Ron Weasley, which is, like, so gross because obviously Hermione's gonna perk up. And also, like, I don't understand with this world, like, obviously an aspect of the girls being happy, not happy, but, like, comfortable or whatever is, like, the fact that they're being psychologically tortured as well, and it's, like, breaking them down. But, like, is it the magic suppressant that they can't react as much? Or, like, because I feel like there's, like, this whole aspect of them taking in all this crazy information, but they don't react. Is it because they are holding it back, or is it because they can't react?
All I know is that they were told to behave because before they would try to obliviate them after, but then they would get, like, Draco said that they got addled, so they're just told to behave. And I think at this point they're so, like, violated, like, sexually and probably physically abused that they're trying to play the game.
It's just surviving. Survival.
And I think, like, because they're young as well, they probably have it in their brains that, like, okay, I've, like, got her on lock now, like, you know.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. Draco. It's so, like, anyways, Draco v. Marcus showdown. Mm-hmm. And Marcus is like, if I win, then Draco, you have to let me know who, like, where your daddy is. And, and if Draco wins, then Marcus has to reveal his information on where Ron is.
Yeah.
It's a draw. And Marcus is like, I don't know. If you kiss me, like, I'll give it to
you.
And Hermione's like, oh, okay.
No, okay. And
Draco drags her out, just, like, so embarrassed.
Yeah. That was a decision. Mm-hmm. I mean, she made a good point. She's like, do you think I enjoy kissing that disgusting man?
Yeah.
Like,
have you seen his teeth?
Yeah. No, well, they're fixed now. Always flashing his perfect teeth. They're probably, like, blinding white, like, just
veneers.
Yeah.
Anyways, Ron's been bought by the Lestrange.
But it's funny at the end of this night because she's like, Draco's, like, trying to drag her out of there, and she's like, well, I have to pee. I ought to do that. And he's like, all right, go pee. There's a guard in the bathroom. Ew.
Oh.
And one of, like, the strawberry blonde girl that she's been seeing throughout the night, like, follows her into the bathroom. She has, like, a little Scottish accent, and, like, they both are, like, washing their hands, and the girl's like, "Your color is askew."
Is that your Scottish accent?
Yeah, it's really bad. Don't comment.
So
on
good.
It. Thank you so much. Fully plants one on her, like just starts kissing.
Well, because the guard is like, "You can't talk."
Yeah, he's like, "You can't touch."
And she's like,
"No talking, no touching."
I'm like, she's all right, like, "What about?"
She's like, "Oh, we don't have to talk."
Yeah, and then Draco sees her like making out with
yeah,
her.
They like leave the bathroom, keeps kissing her. And he's like, literally, I'm sure he's shitting his pants. Like, he's like, there's tongue. Hermione's just like, not protesting. She's like, all right.
She's like, I'm starved for some
attention.
Yeah,
I know. She's like, yeah, it's been a while. I can use a, I could be kissed.
She's pretty.
Yeah.
I get it.
But yeah, and then he's just like, what the fuck? We're going home.
We're going now.
That's enough.
Yeah. And then they argue and he's like, don't kiss my friend. She's like, dude, I need an information.
Yeah.
And he's like, on your boyfriend?
Yeah. And also he's just like, look, all you're doing is kissing, going around kissing people. But yeah, so she's obviously just in a huff, like rips her collar off. Mm-hmm. And that's when she sees that like the reason the Scottish girl was like playing with her like mm-hmm. hands near her neck was she was slipping the note under her collar. And
it said, how do I kill him?
Yeah,
from Ginny. Oh my God. I was so excited when I read that because I was like, oh, it's like so good that like she still is like in the order and like is trying to like take him down.
Yeah.
Even in this like horrible like world.
Because like Ginny's sold to Avery and he's just, well, you've heard like he disciplines her horribly.
Yeah.
She's also referred to as like the Dark Lord's like favorite plaything.
Yeah.
Ugh. Like, off, like I feel for Ginny in this fic. Yeah. Like you don't see her too much,
Ginny.
But it's so horrible. And also, I think up until this time, you're just like, where is the story gonna go? Like, how are you ever supposed to like work with these circumstances? And this is like the first like beacon of hope and like plan. And you're like, oh my God, okay,
things are happening. Things are happening.
What's the procedure?
The next time Hermione is like, okay, now that I know that I have my way in with fighting for the order, like I need to have Draco on my side, but like also keeps him in the dark. So she's just like,
yeah,
okay, look,
well, she Marcus, can't tell him everything.
Yeah. So she's like, look, Marcus saw that we were really uncomfortable with each other and he took an opportunity and pitted us against each other. And, you know, it's not good, a good look for us. And like, we're going to get in trouble because, you know, you're not raping me. So,
yeah. Big problem.
Yeah.
Apparently.
And so she proposes them to like practice being comfortable
practice sessions.
With each other.
Yeah. Because she was like, listen, I know I need to keep going back to Edinburgh. This is the only place I see my friends. And so she's like, have dinner with me tonight. And he's like, excuse me. But so she like lays out her plan and he's like, all right, it's a date. It's a date. He says
it reluctantly.
Well,
like he's on his way to the gallows.
Well,
he still says it.
Yeah. This whole thing is reluctant, all right? Like nobody's here. Everybody's here against their will.
I like that when they start eating dinner, like they try to like do a little small talk and it's not working. And she's like, okay, like I guess we don't have to do small talk. I wanted to ask you questions, but I know you hate questions. He's like,
I don't hate questions.
She's like, they put you in a mood. No, you put me in a mood.
Like, okay, are you guys in love with each other or are you siblings?
And then she gets all up in his lap.
Yeah, just plops herself on. Like, she doesn't. Gives him no notice, just like crawls over and he's like, well, what are you doing? And but like it's
she's
going,
like, relax.
Yeah, just relax. Ew. This is also violating, like,
there's so many blurred lines in this fic.
Big blurred lines. You are morally gray.
Yeah, if you're of the faint of heart, steer clear.
Yeah, come on, you can do it. It's worth it. But yeah, and she's, and like they start getting more comfortable and she is like feeding him food off of his plate because like all the girls at Edinburgh like eat from like kind of pick off like the leftovers of like their owner's plate. Mm-hmm. Ew. But yeah, so they're like fighting over potatoes and she's just like trying to force feed him a potato. like, okay. And like, that's how like Narcissa walks into like this little salon and finds them.
She's like, oh.
And he's like, all right.
And then they like go back and forth and Hermione's like, oh, it wasn't, I didn't mean. And then Draco's like, could it have knocked, mother?
Like, goddamn, first of all, she owns this house. Yeah, so that was embarrassing. I wanted to die. And she's like, okay, let's do it again tomorrow.
I was just upset that it was finally when they were getting comfortable because she was like,
I know.
They were like play
it
fighting.
It was starting to get cutesy, yeah. And Narcissa was like, hello. Narcissa was like, oh, I want to see. You know, Mippy went
the
over there.
Of my labor.
Yeah, Mippy went over there and was like, mistress, you won't believe what's happening in the salon. Hermione just every time is like, we're doing this again. And he's like, shoot me in the face right now.
They go back to Edinburgh, and Hermione tries to actually put on makeup and, like, make a bit of an effort after she sees how pretty she can look through pansy.
When she sees her potential, she's like, ooh, has no clue what she's doing. I hate that she's like, yeah, let me put this goo on my face. Like, that's your first problem. Hermione. Get out a beauty blender and bounce that shit in.
There has to be a book on makeup.
No, I know. Or like there has to be a spell.
Yeah, please. And she sees Juliana, the 14-year-old.
Yeah.
And is just like, what is this girl doing?
She's just like so scared for her.
Yeah.
Well, no, like she sees Juliana and she's just like, what? But then like later throughout the night, she kind of like notices her looking.
Yeah.
And then, Hermione. Yeah. And Hermione's like.
An arched brow.
An arched brow always smirk. Gives it away. Yeah.
It's Pansy.
Yeah. Pansy, first of all, like for as good of an actress, like you can't hide your freaking smirk. Like you have a part to
she
play.
She wants her to see.
Yeah, so you're right. She's like, I need to let this girl know because she just looks petrified right now.
And she looks horrible with her makeup.
Yeah. And so they do the whole thing with like dinner and. Maybe, like, I think they do poker again, like, dinner, the lounge, yada, yada, yada. I think Draco's still just, like, hating his life and stiff as a board.
Yeah.
And Hermione's just, like, trying to carry the team. But Theo is like, oh, there's a 1 o'clock gun tonight. Mind you, Hermione shows up to this night at Edinburgh with, like, her response to Ginny and, like, a little scrap of paper under her collar. Mm-hmm. And she is, like, that's her main focus for tonight.
The entire night, she's like, where is the strawberry blonde?
She also, like, doesn't know how, like, the strawberry blonde didn't say anything to her. She doesn't even know, like, how the system works. She just knows somehow she needs to get this note to Ginny.
Yeah.
And so, Theo's like, there's a 1 o'clock gun. And she feels Draco, like, stiffen up. Has no clue what that means. Also, like, can't you just, I don't know, do the math, Hermione? Like, you know what that means. But it was really, really sad. He was trying to get her out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you, like, really, like, now that you kind of know about Draco by this point, you're like, oh, he's trying so hard. And you feel so sad for him.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, stuck in this place, like, trying to hold it together, and she's just trying to like sit on his lap every other second and like kiss the shit out of him. Has no clue why he's uncomfortable ever.
God, literally. Just no context clues.
Yeah, so, but basically they get stuck and like not being able to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they run into Dolohov, and that's also just like a whole other
thing for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her occlumency is like kicking in, but. Basically, she sees the strawberry blonde, like, strapped up there. And, like, Yaxley, I think, is the one, like, announcing how she's a traitor. And, she's, like, she's also,
it's
like...
It's her and then her brother.
Her little brother, yeah. And they're both muggle-borns. I don't even know what they did. I think they, like, Yaxley's like, oh, like, we brought them into our world. And they didn't appreciate, like, getting to, like, serve us or whatever.
Yeah.
Some bullshit, bro. And...
And Hermione's having, like, a panic attack.
Yeah.
And Charlotte comes,
makes
a little small talk with Draco and goes to Hermione and is like, oh, my God, she's so
she's
cold.
Like
she's, like,
freezing.
Yeah. She, like, takes the little note from her collar.
Yeah, which Hermione doesn't even
know. She doesn't notice. Yeah, because she's so, like, horrified.
Yeah.
And then she, like, leaves. And then Hermione is, like, having a panic attack.
Yeah.
Because basically...
They're, like, canonizing these two poor little kids.
Yeah.
I also think, like, the way that you see traumatic events happen in this fic is, like, you see it through the lens of her occlumency, which is really interesting. Like, the dissociation kicks in and, like... Also, Draco's in her ear.
Yeah, so Draco holds her, is the reason why she's able to.
He's like coaching her through. He's like, there's a lake with still waters. Yeah. And it's so, and that's so crazy because he's not even like worried or like he's also having to see these things and like traumatized, but he's like prioritizing making sure she's okay.
So he helps her occlude. I love how Love's Big Cut 8 just like does such a good job with describing again like what it is and what you're imagining, because we always hear like a lake with still waters, but I think it's in this moment where we understand like what that means.
Agreed.
I feel like when you just described it right now, I was like, oh, that is really sad and really like dramatic. Yeah. But when I was reading it, I like couldn't picture what it was. And I was like, why is it like a canon? Like, it's a little goofy to me. Like,
that is it's giving circus.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it was giving to me. I feel like a firing squad or like a magical equivalent to that would have been more scary to me.
A canon is crazy. Maybe they were just like, well, we're in England.
Yeah, I think my problem with it is A, it does sound a little circusy, and B, like I think like it's like a puff, and then like you don't see, I don't know. It's just like a little bit of a like puff. Blood squirting.
I think that you see like those long like missile things or whatever.
And then the body or just like
a grenade. But they like these two poor kids, like they canonize or like they shoot the brother first.
Yeah, so she has
and to she's see. Like, and she's like saying something to him like rapidly, and he's just like has his eyes on his sister, and the whole scene, like canon or no canon, is so heartbreaking.
Yeah,
and she sees him die first, and then it's her.
I know, but the way that you're describing it is, I feel really bad thinking.
Like I tear up at that goofy scene.
Yeah, it's not great. I take it back. I'm an asshole. It is really sad.
Okay.
When they go back, like she's just so in her occlumency, and Draco has to be like, okay, look at me, like come back, like come back up. Yeah, come back to me now. And then once she's back in her body, basically, she just like breaks down, and like he's being really nice to her and holds her. And she's like, they're going to pay for what they did. And he's like, okay.
I know. I think he agrees with her. He's like, yeah, they will. Yeah. Has zero clue how he's going to make that happen for her. But I love that he's a team player. One thing with this fic is like this half of the story, just back to back, there's something, bro. Like, can I get a rest? Because the next day she wakes up to go say thank you and be like, oh, you were really supportive. She's giving him credit.
Yeah. And he's like, can you leave?
Yeah. He's like, leave the fuck alone.
In the middle of research.
Yeah. He's like knee deep in books and he thinks that she's going to leave. Do you even know the girl that you're in love with? Like, and she says, like, she's like, well, you know, I'm really good at research. She's like, ooh, can I play in the sandbox? He's like, I'm doing something, Granger. All right.
She's like, okay, well, I always find that, like, it's always under my nose or, like, whatever. Yeah, answer that I'm looking for.
Is like, right in front of me and doesn't know that means that he should just screw the shit out of her. She just like walks out of the library with like her tail between her legs. Like every day Hermione's embarrassed by him and I'm just secondhand cringing.
So the virginity ritual. I like how it wakes.
That was crazy.
Yeah, I like how it starts off with like Granger wake up and she's just like woken up.
Everybody's in her room.
Everybody's in her room. She's like, what is going on? No. And Narcissa's like, it's okay. Yeah. And she's like, why are you here?
Yeah,
and
then makes her change out of her PJs.
Yeah. And then Lucius comes.
Yeah.
And then she's like, what is happening? She has to lay down on her bed.
Yeah. She's in like this enormously long white silk nightgown.
Yeah. She still doesn't know what's happening, right?
Yeah. No, she doesn't know.
And then they're speaking Germanic and Narcissa also, has to bathe her and like.
Yeah. The mother cleanses, the father bleeds. So he just like fucking cuts her.
No, he has to like crawl on top of her.
Yeah.
I would be.
She's like in Narcissa's lap. Also, like my question is, they're like, oh, it's like an old ancient ritual. The people from the village used to use it for their daughters. But like.
That makes no sense.
That makes no sense. Why would they want to take their daughter's virginities away? Like,
it made sense that like people wanted to.
Put it back.
Or no, it made sense that people would want to take the virginity and then protect it. And like sell it in the black market. Actually, whoa. No, now that I think about it, does that
that's
make sense?
A lot.
No, that's what Draco says when he like, first of all, they like, anyways, this like ritual works and yeah. the virginity.
A glowing orb. I'm just thinking about like the memories, you know, from Inside Out, how Joy is like this bright yellow.
Or blue. He just like catches it in a little mason jar. Yeah. Like, what? And then the whole thing was like, I mean, I was in it, but it's like when you think, when you are explaining it back, it's
like, what?
And then she like sees him like jarring up her virginity and Hermione thinks, oh my God, I've never seen him catch a snitch.
Oh my God.
Like, is that what he looks like?
Yeah. That's so true. I forgot that she said that. She thought that to herself. But
anyway, so it works.
Yeah. Also, like, Lucius is like in and out of there, like like a surgeon. Like, he was paged in and he's like, gotta go.
I wonder if his hair was out or if he had a little bow.
I know. Did That's he? Did question. He like have time to tie it back? He need like Lucius Malfoy needs a claw clip.
He does.
You know, like. Hey guys, so me and Neha ended up having so many thoughts about the auction that we decided to make it a two-parter. So hopefully you enjoyed part one. Part two will be up 2 weeks from now. And we'll see you then. Follow us on socials. Our TikTok is @DramineDiariesPod and our Instagram is @DramineDiaries. Bye!